We are living in dangerous times. I mean, we've been kind of living in Disneyland for a long time in this country, really, and fantasy, and a fantasy world, a virtual world, a video game world, you know. It's not reality, but that's how we perceive things, you know, based upon our culture, based upon what we are presently experiencing. But we are living in very volatile, very dangerous times. No mystery. We understand that. And the only safe place, as you know, is in Christ. The only safety. We cannot depend on government, the police force, to protect us. We've got to stay close to God. Stay close to God. That's the best advice I can give you. A lot of the things that we were able to at one time trust in, we can no longer. And there's a scripture that says, some men trust in horses, some in chariots, but we will trust in the name of our God. So even though we have what many say is the best military in the world, folks, we're getting into a situation right now where we may have to fight without God because of how we've dissed God, how we've just said, God, we don't want you to tell us what to do. We're going to do this on our own. And that is a very stupid thing, you know. And God has been with this nation. That's why we've been prospered. That's why we've been blessed. That's why we've been successful in so many ways, is because God has been with us. And because many of our leaders, you know, would call on God in times of trouble, and many of our military leaders would call on God in times of trouble and seek His counsel, seek His guidance. But now we've got a different generation that's come up and that are saying, we don't need God, we can do it without God. And we want to be our own God, and nobody's going to tell us what to do. And the arrogance that we see now from the highest echelons, you know, and it's scary, you know. I mean, if I didn't have Jesus in my life, I'd be like, kind of like, man, this is a mess. I'm saying all that because what I want to talk to you about is something that I started on Wednesday night, and that is prayer. What is prayer? The importance of prayer. And I want to say, first of all, that Christianity is not adding God to our lives, but living in God. There are a lot of people who go to church who believe that I'm just adding God to my life. I'm adding a little piece of God. Each time I'm getting a little piece of God, you know, I'm adding God to my life. But that's not Christianity. Christianity, again, is living in God. Whatever we experience, the supernatural manifestations of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, all of this, it comes from the same source. It all comes from God. It's all a result of abiding in God. You cannot bear fruit unless you abide in the vine, amen, in Jesus. So it's the fruit of the Spirit and not the fruit of flesh. We can produce pseudo fruit by just being a nice person, being a good person, you know, being loving, caring, peaceful, nice. And yet it can be completely of human origin and not of the Spirit of God. We have the ability, we have this thing called natural affection. We're born, we're created with natural affection. A mother has natural affection for a child, right? But it's not the fruit of the Spirit. It's natural affection. And so sometimes people confuse the two. They think because a person is nice and loving and good, just like people that come and knock on your door, say, hey, we're from the Watchtower Society, or the Mormons, they knock on your door and they're very nice people. Well, they have to be nice or you wouldn't let them in the door, right? And so they can be naturally nice people. And there's a lot of good people that are caught up in that thing. Amen. It's not like they're bad people. They're just deceived people. And God wants them to be saved too. And He wants them to bear the fruit of His Spirit. So do you understand? We have to be able to discern the Spirit and what is of God and what is not. And God is looking for fruit and the fruit of His Spirit, of His presence. Is that making sense? And the only way we can do that is by abiding in Him. And how do we abide in God? Well, we abide in Him through prayer. Amen? Through abiding in His Word, allowing His Word to come into us. Amen? So we begin to understand what pleases the Lord, what is of God and what is not of God. The light comes, the darkness goes. Amen? And our minds are being renewed through the knowledge of Him. You know, when we're born again, our spirit comes alive, but then our mind is conflicting with our spirit. So the mind has to be renewed through the knowledge of Him. There's a washing of the water of the Word. There's a renewing process of the mind. And when the mind and the spirit come into order, amen, and then the body, the whole life begins to reflect the image of Christ. The glory of God is revealed through us by the same Spirit that indwells us. But the mind wants to conflict. The soul wants to fight against the spirit. And the spirit against the soul, they're at odds. So that part of us, the soul, is being saved. The spirit is life because of Christ. The soul is being saved and the body will be in the time of redemption. Amen? The final redemption. When this mortal, the Bible says, will put on immortality. Our bodies will literally be transformed. It will be changed into a glorious body just like Jesus. Amen. We'll be able to eat, the Bible says. Isn't that a great thing? I didn't want to be a spirit playing a harp. Amen. Maybe a 12-string, but not a harp. But, you know, no, it's going to be a superior reality to what we are experiencing now that God has prepared. And it hasn't even entered in. I mean, He reveals these things through the Spirit, but there's so much that we don't know about that. But what God wants us to know, He reveals to us by His Spirit. So again, it's not a matter of adding God to your life. This is where we get into trouble, because if we're simply adding God to our life, we're really living in law. It becomes my responsibility just to do right or wrong. And if I do enough right, I'm accepted. If I do wrong, I'm rejected. I'm under law then. And there's no power, there's no grace in law. You see? So it's relational. And prayer is how we relate to God. My spirit cries out to His Spirit. Amen? His Spirit communicates to my spirit. Deep calls unto deep. There's a connection in the Spirit. And in that connection is my life. He is actually my life. My source of life. The old man is dead. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. That means I am believing, I am trusting, I'm relying on Him, I'm leaning on Him daily as my source of life. He's my life. He's my bread. That's why Jesus said, you must eat of me and drink of my blood. You must, you know, partake of my spirit. And He said, the flesh profits nothing. You guys are thinking I'm talking about cannibalism. He says, no, I'm talking about the Spirit. It's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. I'm not talking about that. He's saying you have to partake of me because I am your life. So, not adding God to, but living together with God, abiding together with God, and His life being manifested through us because of our communion with Him in the Spirit. That making sense? It's why we sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord. We commune with Him in our heart. Wherever we are carriers of His glory. And we just walk with the Lord. And as we are in communion with Him, in communication with Him, His life is reflected through us. And so the Word, the reason why we read this Word is so that we'll get a revelation of who the living Word is. There are some people that have a lot of Bible knowledge, but they don't have the substance, which is Christ. Is that, you know what I'm talking about? They can debate you, they under the table, they can, you know, but they don't have the substance, which is Christ. If we're not bearing fruit, it's all in vain. All your knowledge equals zero if you don't have Him. Even Paul the Apostle was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He knew the Word. And he was the one that was terrorizing the church. Get it? And so we've got to know Him. We've got to have fellowship with Him, with His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. With God and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Our fellowship in the Spirit. And as a result of that, we bear the fruit of that relationship. And so prayer is a privilege. But prayer is a privilege only really for God's sons and daughters when you're born of the Spirit. Other than that, it's repentance. That's what God is looking for. He wants you to come to Him because He does want to forgive, but you have to turn away from yourself in order to be saved. Would you agree? Yes. You got to be done with you before you're ready for Jesus. See, there's a lot of people that they're not really done with themselves, but they want Jesus too. That's idolatry. You're still serving yourself. You're still worshiping yourself. No, we have to be done with our way, and then we walk with God. And you know, God doesn't take away your personhood. God doesn't make you a robot. God allows you to be who you are, and He wanted you just the way you are because He made you. And because of that, we have liberties. We walk basically yoked together with Him as a team. We're walking with Jesus. And God allows us to dream. God allows us to make decisions. God allows us to choose whether we want to go to Burger King or McDonald's or don't do that. But anyways, you know, it's not like we have to pray and fast if we're going to eat at McDonald's or Burger King. You know, we make decisions. But walking in the Spirit is simply that daily communion with Jesus. It's simple. As a matter of fact, it's so simple a child can understand it. And sometimes children get it before we do. We get complicated sometimes. We complicate things. And often it's because of our programming as we're going through life and we're learning, getting all this stuff in us that causes the confusion. That's what the enemy does. And we lose the simplicity which is in Christ. Prayer is a gift from God. Prayer is God allowing us to approach His throne, where we find His mercy and grace. Would you agree? It's a privilege we have. And God wants us to desire what He desires and to will what He wills. And why is that? Because He loves us and He knows what's best for us. Simple. Why does God want us to desire what He desires and will what He wills? Because He loves us and He knows what's best for us. And if we need to, faith is me believing that God really is smarter than me. His ways are higher and better than my ways. You know? And trusting Him. Faith is trusting God. That if God said it, it's good. Amen? It's trustworthy. His word is trustworthy. It's worthy of my trust. So, faith in approaching God, believing He is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. How many like to be rewarded? How many know it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? In one book, I think it's Luke, he says how much we'll give good gifts to his children. We like to give gifts, don't we, to each other? We like to give gifts to our children. Well, God wants to do the same thing for us. He wants to share in His kingdom with us. And He's invited us to come. But folks, we can't do that unless we're done with ourselves. We won't pray unless we know that we have a need for God. And when we know we have a need for God, then we will be filled with Him. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who know that they don't have what it takes in themselves. Those who have come to the place where they realize now, it's got to be God's way. I've learned that my way is the way of death. My way is the way of failure. God doesn't fail. And so if I abide in Him and I continue to listen to His Spirit, I won't fail. You won't fail. God will never allow you to fail as long as you're listening to Him. He'll allow you to fail only if you decide, like Peter, to go your own way. Or you put confidence in yourself and not in Him. So prayer is our access to Him, to where we can have communion with Him so that we can be, if you will, enriched by His presence, His Spirit. And really, spiritual growth is as you and I building up that spirit within us, you know, so that we are able to have a greater capacity for God's presence. The more that you grow spiritually, the more that you feed yourself and on His presence and in His Word, the greater the capacity you have to house Him. Why? Because you have to deny yourself to eat, to worship, to pray. And as we are saying no to self and yes to Him, we are actually allowing God to expand us or to increase our spirit and our spirit's capacity. And so the more that we have a capacity for Him, the greater the influence of His Spirit in us and through our lives. If you want a greater anointing or a greater influence or greater fruitfulness, you have to build your spirit. You have to build up your spirit, man. And this is, I don't want to go too far into this, but you know, we've done a teaching on this in the past. But if you think about an egg, you know, it's got that shell, and it's got the white, and it's got the yolk in there. Think of the yolk as being your spirit, you know, and the white being your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, you know, your person, who you really are as a person. But what you need is the Spirit of God within the yolk or in your spirit, together with your spirit, amen? And when God comes in to your spirit, the Holy Spirit comes there, you become spiritually born or alive, all right? Now, the problem is sometimes we choke off or we quench the Spirit because we're not feeding the Spirit or we're not allowing the Spirit to have His way in us. If we want to just live according to the soul life, that outer life, the outer man, and deny God access, deny, you know, fellowship with God, then what will happen is you will be a soulish person. You may be an emotional person, but you won't be a spiritual person. Is it making sense? We have to build up our spirit, and we do that through praying in the Holy Spirit. Jude 20 says, "Beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." Prayer is how you build your spirit. When we worship, when we sing, when we're here tonight, what are we doing? We're building up our spirit. You know, we're just using music, but we're also praying and interceding, you know, also while we do the music. We're not just singing about God, but we're communing with God in the Spirit. And so you're building up the capacity within you for more of God. To be Spirit-filled means that I have allowed myself to be a vessel that God can fill because I'm denying my soulish part the right to rule me anymore. And now God's Spirit is going to rule me. Is that making sense? My mind now is submitting to the Spirit of God. So we're going to function from the Spirit and not simply from the intellect. There are people who can preach wonderful messages simply from intellect, but it has no spiritual impartation or impact on anybody. You know what I'm talking about? You ever hear a message that was well put together, but it was lifeless? That's a soulish individual that's not functioning from the Spirit, but functioning simply from the intellect. So we have to build up our spirit, amen, so there's more capacity for God to fill that part of us. And eventually, so that every part of my being or my soul is now under submission to the Spirit of God. And that's what we call being led by the Spirit or controlled by the Spirit. And those who are controlled by the Spirit have life and peace. Amen? It's the Spirit that'll give you life and peace. Now, in the soul, we can soothe ourselves with music. We can soothe ourselves with vacations or do certain things, spas, whatever, and make your soul feel good. But it doesn't last. Amen? It won't hold you. It won't carry you. But your spirit has the, you know, the capacity of keeping the entire person together. Now, our soul man is subjected to the environment, how well things are going in life at the moment. When the sun's out and the birds are singing and everything is going my way, I can be a really great Christian, you know, a soulish Christian, but I can be a good soulish Christian and I can have a smile on my face. But guess what? If the sun goes away and you stub your toe or something doesn't go right and it's gray outside for day upon day, you know, and if we're soulish, then we can very easily get into depression or into, well, it's just, there's no, you know, are you hearing me? But if you're spirit filled, the Spirit brings life and peace irregardless of the external situation. That's what God is trying to say. Come to me, feed on me. Amen? Drink of me, eat of me, and let your soul delight itself in me. Let me be your delight. In my presence is fullness of joy. We meet with Him where? In our spirit. You remember the temple had three chambers, an outer court, inner court, and the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies is your heart. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that's where we commune with God. And in that, if you are Spirit-filled, then you will have life and peace. You can walk in God's peace. And so when we're babes, we're born again, we get that excitement of, wow, the light is on, you know, in my life, and I've never had anything or felt anything like this before. But then all of a sudden, the conflict begins between your soul and that spirit man that wants to grow. Amen? And there's a conflict that's going on there. And so that's when you have to start to learn how to say no to the soul man. Starve out your flesh. And feed your faith or feed your spirit. And the more that you're feeding your spirit and starving out or denying your soul man, the more capacity you are to be filled with God's presence. And that equals life and peace. And of course, the body just follows suit. If you're spirit-led, amen, you have self-control, which is also a fruit of the Spirit. All comes from God. It is Christ who is the sum total of everything that we have need of. It's not adding God to us, adding things to God, adding gifts to us, adding knowledge to us in the sense that, you know, that's going to complete us. No, all the knowledge does is reveals God to us. The knowledge is there to reveal who He is. And who He is in us. Oh, that's God. That was God speaking to me. Oh, no, that was me. How do we know? By the Spirit He gives us. So the more we're yielding and cultivating that relationship and that communion with God in the Spirit, the more that we will come to know His voice. We will know His voice and we will hear. And we will begin to make right choices because now we're able to hear clearly what God is speaking to us. And oh, that's so vital. It's vital that we hear His voice. So prayer, again, is our privilege to be able to come to Him. Miles Monroe said this, prayer is earthly license for heavenly interference. Earthly license for heavenly interference. So God told us to take dominion over the earth when He created man and He placed him in the garden, remember? So it's our responsibility to be stewards in the earth realm. Amen? And so when Adam fell, he lost his glory, lost his covering, he lost the relationship that he had with the Lord, remember? And so Jesus came to restore us. The last Adam, Jesus Christ, came to restore us back into fellowship with the Father. So once again, we have been restored to this place of being an ambassador for Christ. That means that we are to represent the kingdom government of heaven here in the earth realm. God gives us, the church, that responsibility. You understand? He chooses people to work through in this realm. That's why prayer is important. Why? Because if we don't pray, nothing will happen. Why? Because God gave us that authority on earth to invoke heaven's influence. That's why He said, when you pray, pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Acknowledge who you're praying to. Amen. The Holy God. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth. You understand? We have to call it in. We have to pray in. You know why Jesus is returning? He's returning when the church has done its job. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world for a witness, and then the end shall come. When the church has done its job, it is risen up to its priesthood. Amen? And we're calling in the kingdom. We're calling in the glory of God. Before we come together here, we walk through this place and we pray for the glory of God to come in here. Because we can't do anything without Him. And it's got to be God doing the work or it's all in vain. You see? So, my encouragement is for all of us, come early. Amen? Come to church early. Don't just sit around and talk. Join us in prayer. Amen? Oh, did I hurt anybody's feelings? Oh, no. Let's pray. Let's pray, because if we're all together and our hearts are really for Him, He's going to show up where He's invited. And the more of us that are praying and getting serious about His kingdom coming in, calling His kingdom in, the greater the manifestation of God's glory and of His power and of His influence in our lives and in the lives of others. We can't change anybody's heart, but God can influence. Amen? Because we're allowing Him to fill our lives so we can be a vessel that He can flow out of and touch many others. Amen. Now, many people want to pray, but they don't know how. Would you agree? And whatever God does, He does with purpose. So we need to know what God is saying. What does God want to do? What does God want to accomplish? We've got to be able to hear His voice. And you come to know anybody, if you spend enough time with them, you'll begin to identify their voice. I've used this illustration a lot. But if Dave was to be on the other side of the wall, for example, in there, and he was talking really loud, and there might have been a crowd of people over there, and I'm listening kind of through the wall, and I'm hearing a bunch of voices, and I don't recognize those voices there, but, oh, I recognize that voice. That's Dave's voice. How would I know that? Because I've had time to get acquainted, and I know His voice. And so it is with the Lord, as we are acquainted, spending time, intimacy with God through His Word, amen, coming to know, well, that's God, amen. Oh, that's not God. It doesn't align with this. Amen? And then we get to recognize His voice so we can pick Him out of all the mix and all the noise and all the confusion of our day sometimes. There's so many voices and so many, you know, the demons are trying to get our attention. They're screaming for our attention. The world is screaming for your attention all the time. Hey, over here. Look over here. Hey, pay attention. Hey, check this out. Over here, over here. And God is saying, wait, listen to my voice. But if we don't have time and we're not spending time with Him and His Word, then we're not going to know His voice. And the enemy is pretty slick, and he knows how to impersonate, doesn't he? He knows how to speak, and it's like, man, that almost sounds like Dave, but it's not quite right. And you know why I know that's not Dave? Because Dave wouldn't do that. Because Dave wouldn't tell me to do something like that. So I know God's heart. I know His character. I know His ways. Because I'm acquainted with Him. So when I hear that other voice, even if it sounds like Him, simply by what the voice is suggesting, I'll know that, wait a minute, this is not God. But when God's speaking, you know the sound of His voice, and you know His ways, and you say, this is the Lord. Absolutely, this is the Lord. Prayer is what connects us, spirit to spirit. Amen? God didn't say spirit to intellect, He said spirit to spirit. And the intellect is to follow suit, is to come under authority to the Holy Spirit. And that's what it is to be Spirit-led again. Now, 1 John, if you would, 1 John 5:14, that's just before Revelation at the end of the book. Not St. John, but 1 John 5:14. We know this very well, but I just want to look at this again real quick. The reason why it's important for us to look at prayer is because I don't know about you, but I want my prayers answered. I want to know that I'm praying correctly and that God is listening. I don't want to pray in vain. And you can pray in vain if you don't understand God's ways and how to pray. Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will do. So when we pray, we address our Father in heaven. Amen? Who is He? He's the Holy God. Holy Father, not the Pope, but we have one Holy Father, amen? Jesus said, call no man Father on earth. So when people call priests or the Pope Father in a spiritual sense, they're doing exactly what Jesus said not to do. Folks, it's very clear in Scripture. He's not Holy Father. Amen? We have one Father in heaven, and He is holy. So He said, whatever you ask the Father in My name, in the name of Jesus. That's how we approach Him. Our Father who art in heaven. Okay, this is the confidence that we have in Him. Verse 14, 1 John 5:14, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. So it's not even a question of if. It's an absolute yes, if it's the will of God. So, how can I know God's will? How can I know God's will? Well, the answer is simple. By the Spirit of the Lord. By the Spirit of the Lord. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. We know Him by recognizing His voice. Through what? The Spirit. Spirit to Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. Sometimes, you know, people will just read that one verse. That's reading it out of context. You got to continue to read. Right? 9, you have to tag 10 onto there, don't you? But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. How can we know the heart of God? How can we know the mind of the Father? Through the Holy Spirit. How can I know His voice? By the Spirit. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So the Spirit reveals the heart of the Father to us. It's important that we know God's heart, isn't it? You see, people in the Old Covenant, they knew the law of God. They knew the rules of God. Hear me. But they did not know the heart of God. Jesus came to reveal the heart of God to us. Amen? He says, you have heard it said, but I say to you. So they knew the laws, they knew the rules, but they didn't know the heart of God. And He told Philip, Philip, you say, show you the Father. If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father also. Why? Because He came in His Father's name to represent fully the Father's heart to us. If you want to know what the Father's like, you got to look at Jesus. He reveals the heart of God to us, God the Father. Amen. So it's very important that we understand this, that we cannot know God except by revelation. A revealing by the Spirit of God to us. The one who searches the heart of God reveals the heart of God to us. You cannot learn God. You can study and study and study and never know God unless He's revealed by the Spirit of the Lord. See, that's why we must have the Holy Spirit. Amen? It's not enough just to know the Bible, but we've got to have the Spirit of God. Now I'm speaking to Spirit-filled people here tonight. People that have the Spirit of God. I trust. Amen? Now look at this. Let me jump ahead. The will of God. If we pray according to the will of God, He hears us. How do I know the will of God? By the Spirit, who reveals the will of God. My sheep, Jesus said, hear My voice. So we need to know the voice of the Father, the shepherd. Amen? And If we ask anything according to what we know is God's will, He hears us. And we will receive what we've asked for. So, let's look at this. What are we to pray for? Huh? Yes, is it God's will to heal? So we can pray for healing, right? What else do we pray for? Salvation, absolutely. The Lord is not willing that anyone should perish. So it's His will that all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. We can pray for our loved ones. Amen. Because it's the Father's will. You and your household to be saved. Direction. Why? Because the Lord loves us and He knows what's best for us. So He wants to direct us. Absolutely. Something else? Anybody else? To receive a revelation of Himself. Absolutely. We have to ask for that too. Whatever it is that you have need of, you ask. You know? Even if we lack faith, ask God to help your unbelief. Remember the crippled man? Lord, help my unbelief. I pray that way. Okay, these are just a couple examples, but generally speaking, right, we are to pray for God's kingdom to come. And His will to be done on the earth. So, let's look at a couple examples, and I think one that's really, really spells out the will of God in just several verses is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's look at this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And begin with verse 3. And then after that, we'll jump over to chapter 5. But let's begin here. God's will is that we are set apart, that we are sanctified. So we need to pray, Lord, sanctify me. Make me holy. Set me apart for You. We have to pray that. And if we pray that, it is according to God's will. And God will honor that. God will do that because that's what He desires. But God asks us to give Him permission to do so. You see, He won't force Himself, but He says, I'm waiting for you to give me permission to work in your life. By you yielding yourself to me, you're giving me permission to work in your life. If you want to just do your own thing, that's up to you, but I can't change you unless you give me permission. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, knocking at the church's door. So we have to listen to God and give Him permission by praying, Lord, sanctify me, set me apart for You, make me holy. I can't make me holy, but You can make me holy. Amen? So let's look at this. This is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. There is great emphasis, folks. When you see the list of sins, and even sins that condemn a person, right on the top of those lists of sins is sexual sin. You look at it. You study your Bible and you'll see that on the top is sexual immorality. It's huge. Because God has a divine order. And God has also brought us into covenant through His blood into a relationship that is intimate in the sense that through His blood we've come into covenant with Him. And everything we are and have is His now. And everything He has and is ours. We just talked about that in communion this morning. Communion. This cup represents the covenant in my blood, the new covenant in my blood. That you are married to me. We are married to Him. We are in a relationship, a marriage relationship to God. And so, as the pattern of the heavenly, so is the earthly. We are to pattern in the earth realm that which is in the spirit realm. Amen? So God established marriage, covenant between a man and a woman. Sexual intercourse is a consummation of a marriage. Actually, the act of that is the consummation of marriage. There would be a betrothal period, maybe, and there'd be vows, but then it's actually consummated with the act of sexual intercourse itself. And so every time somebody has sexual intercourse, with somebody else. It's like they're being united in spirit with that person. And what happens is if you continue to do this, you actually become a fragmented person. And people will say that person becomes shallow. Have you heard that? They become shallow because they've given their spirit out in so many covenants and so many people. Are you hearing me? That's why God warns against this sexual immorality, because it destroys the entire person, their soul and their body even. How many know what I'm talking about is true? Yes. Now the good news is that God has forgiven us. Amen. If we've come to God and we've repented, God has forgiven us. And God is also able to restore us. But there are certain things that if we don't listen to God, we're going to have to live with the rest of our lives. You know what I'm talking about? Some regrets, some decisions we made, things that we did that, you know, they still bug us in our lives. God has forgotten, God has forgiven, but we may not. Hello? There are certain things that we won't forget. But sometimes they're left there so that we won't continue to go back into the same cesspool, amen, and do those things again. And so God warns us against this thing because He says, don't defraud one another. Don't take advantage of a brother or sister this way. That each one of you, verse 4, should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, talking about your body. Now God's will, are you ready for this? Just move over to chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15. We want to know how to pray and to pray the will of God. So it is what? Our sanctification. That we be pure. And verse 15 says, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good. So what is God's will? That we pursue what is good. Both for yourselves and for all. Verse 16, what is God's will? Yeah. Verse 17. And then verse 18, of course, in everything. Amen. So, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So when we pray, hear this, this is very important. That we come before God with the offering of thanksgiving. Enter His gates with thanksgiving in your heart. And His courts, the inner courts, with praise. You approach God with thanksgiving, gratitude. Come before Him with the offering of thanksgiving from your heart. And thanksgiving produces genuine, authentic praise. Praise brings His presence. What? And His presence is fullness of joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And His presence, right, is that fullness. Okay, so thanksgiving is huge in prayer when we come before Him. It's like I think it's the Promise Bible or one of those versions. It says in Psalms 100, enter His gates with the password, thank you. With the password, thank you. Now, when your kids come to you, they say, Mom, Dad, thank you for this, thank you for that. I really appreciate you. You know, and I really appreciate what you gave me and what you've done for me. You know, what does it make you want to do? It makes you want to bless them some more. But when you're giving them stuff and you're blessing them, hoping that they'll look beyond the gift to you and see your heart of love for them, and they're not appreciative and they don't seem to, you know, they're not really thankful that you did. And you might have even sacrificed to give them a gift and they just kind of took it like, no big deal. Didn't really appreciate it that much and you knew they didn't. How does it make you feel? It grieves you. God is grieved because often we're not understanding the depths of His love and His sacrifice for us through the death of Jesus. And the gratitude should be the rest of my life to pay back God or to give back to God or to love God back, you know, and worship for what He's done for me, for saving me, saving my soul. Lord, how can I say thanks? How can I love you back? So when we're thankful, the Father's pleased. When we're unthankful, He's grieved. No different than us. You go splurging for Christmas, all these presents. I don't know if you had a problem with a kid like that. We haven't. But I've seen it where we've known people that have constantly bought all kinds of expensive toys for their kids, you know. And they go out in the yard and destroy them. They don't appreciate it. Get a kid out there with a hammer destroying like this expensive toy. And it's like, man, you know, they don't appreciate what they have. All right, moving on here. What else is the will of God? Verse 19. What does that mean? Actually, quench means to shut off the flow. It's vital that we don't shut off the flow of God's Spirit. You know, by grieving Him, we shut off the flow. Sometimes, when we're not praying, when we're not worshiping, when we're not, you know, entering into a relationship or communion with God, we're shutting off the flow. We're disconnecting. And if we disconnect from Him, we're disconnecting from life. And as soon as we start to disconnect from life, we begin to wither. How many know what I'm talking about? And as your spirit man begins to shrink up because you're no longer feeding your spirit, then your soulish man begins to become more dominant and more strong. And all of a sudden you find yourself lusting after things that for the longest time you never, you know, could care less about. And have you ever had that happen? Where you've been free from something, you hadn't even been tempted by it for a while, but then you kind of let yourself go and you weren't really focusing on your spirit man, feeding yourself, and that soulish part of you starts to get strong again, and the spirit becomes weak, and the flesh begins to dominate then. And now you find yourself being tempted with things that before would have never been a temptation to you. You understand how important it is that we pray. You've heard it said P-R-A-Y, or we become P-R-E-Y. Pray to the enemy. Amen. Then it says, do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. This is the will of God, all these things. This is the things we want to pray about. And then may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely. Verse 23. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now another thing, folks. Hear this. We're almost through. God's will is that no one would perish in hell. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. Some people have a view of God that God's up there just waiting for you to mess up because He wants to throw you in hell. That's not His heart. He went all the way to the cross for us because He doesn't want people to go there. But we put ourselves there by rejecting His mercy. We reject His mercy when we choose our path over His. Is it making sense? Because our way leads to death, but His way is the way everlasting. And that's why we should pray, Lord, as the psalmist said in Psalms 23, lead me in your paths of righteousness. What? For your name's sake. So that I don't dishonor you. I don't give anybody an opportunity to blaspheme you or to bring reproach on you by the way that I'm living. Amen? We need to live such good lives that nobody can point a finger and accuse us. If anything, they say, wow, that's somebody that's really living this. Amen. They're not only talking it, they're walking it. And you can't walk it, I can't walk it, unless we are praying, staying connected, building, growing our spirit. Amen. So that that becomes the dominant force in our lives. His Spirit having more capacity in us. Amen? For us to expand and grow. Isn't that true? And Jesus said, if your eye is single, your whole body will be filled with light. If you're focused on God and following Him closely and allowing Him to be Lord of all of you, then your entire being will be filled with God, and it will reflect in your countenance. They'll see it in your face. They'll see it in your eyes. There will be light. You will light up. You will literally glow with the aura of God's Holy Spirit. Amen? Because we are full of His presence. So building up your spirit, man, is so important. I guess the kids are done. They're probably saying, help! Yeah. So 2 Peter 3:9, I'll just read the one verse. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise of His return, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I want to finish with this one verse in Psalms 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We're talking about being protected in Him. Being safe in Christ. Putting on the Lord, amen? And not making any provision for our fleshly nature to rule. Now, he who dwells, that word dwells means remains, settles, also means to be married. So when we are married to Him in the Spirit, we were joined to Him, united in Him. It also means to continue or to be established. So those who are established, who are settled, who sit down, literally it means to sit down in the secret place or the covering or hiding place or protection of God, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, so what is it saying? It's saying for us to literally sit down in the hiding place or the protection of God. In other words, God Himself is that strong tower. He is that fortified castle of safety. Christ is our covering. He is our protector. He wants to hide us in Him. And He can literally make us invisible to the devils. He can make us invisible to man even. Those who would seek to harm you. If you stay buried or settled in the covering or the protection of the Almighty. How can we do this? Through prayer. Amen? Pray. Be filled with the Spirit. Be clothed upon with Him. Hide yourself in Him. And God can supernaturally protect us in the days ahead. I believe that there will be divine protection. Hear me. I'm finishing with this. In the days to come, for those who stay close to God and who abide in Him. John 15. That God will hide those who stay close to Him, and God will supernaturally spare many of His people. Not all, but many of His people who stay close to Him. Why? Because those are going to be the vessels that He's going to use when all hell breaks loose to reach the lost and the people that are running to someone who knows how to get a hold of God. And God is raising up right now a remnant of people who are going to know their God. They're going to be mighty in God. And they're going to do exploits. They're going to do tremendous miracles and works of power to demonstrate that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. And the devil is a liar. Hallelujah. So let us stay clothed, let us stay close, let us stay, amen, connected with Jesus through prayer and intimacy with Him. Every day, start your day out with prayer and ask God to clothe you. I'm going to finish with this, I said that already. But I'm going to tell you, simply folks, what I do every day is I say, Jesus, thank You for this day. Lord, please forgive me for all my sins, if there's any sins. I ask You, Lord, to clothe me in Your righteousness. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Amen? Clothe me in the full armor of God. Amen? And lead me in the way I should go. In Jesus' name. It's just a complete covering and filling. Cover the bases before you even get started in your day. Amen? Put on the armor of God. Put it on by prayer. Simply ask God to clothe you and to fill you, amen, and to guide you, to lead you in that day. And then you'll find yourself, even as you begin with a prayer like that, that your spirit man will begin to just to, you know what I'm talking, there'll be a quickening, there'll be something happening inside of you where you'll begin to bubble up and you begin to pray even in the Holy Spirit. And I pray in tongues, maybe many of you do too, I pray in tongues throughout the day. Now why? Because I'm keeping my spirit man strong. Amen? Built up inside so that my soul man is not ruling. But I'm being led by the Spirit. And then I can say no to my flesh. I still have the, amen, the capacity to say yes anytime and indulge myself. But when I'm strong in the Spirit, mighty in spirit, the flesh doesn't have a chance. Amen? And we just do that every day. And it's not a complicated thing. It's simply walking with Him every day.